Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special SoxProspects.com podcast. It's the official podcast of the best source on the internet for all the news, scouting, insight, and more on the Boston Red Sox farm system. I want to thank you for the download. My name is Chris Hatfield. I'm coming to you from Sox Prospects Mid-Atlantic here in our nation's capital. And this is our special Draft Night 1 recap podcast. And we knew that we would have something to talk about because the Red Sox had the number 12 pick overall. And boy, do we ever. Because the Red Sox, with the number 12 pick in the draft, well, we'll talk about it, but they selected left-hander Jason Groom, high schooler out of New Jersey, who was regarded by many as the top talent in this year's draft. So plenty to talk about there. And their second-round pick, shortstop C.J. Chatham out of Florida Atlantic. But the story here is Groom. Joining me, as always, on the line is our director of scouting, Ian Kundle. Hello, Ian.
Hi, Chris. Good to be here on a late Thursday night so we can get some reaction up about a pretty exciting day, I would say, for the Red Sox.
Very exciting day. Very exciting day. And joining us especially this evening is Will Woodward from our writing. He's a senior staff writer who's once again did a number of pre-written posts on potential first-round picks for the Red Sox. We would have them all ready to go when the pick got announced, and was foiled for the second time in 4 years. The exact same thing happened when the Red Sox picked Trey Ball in 2013. Will, thanks for hopping on the podcast, man. You've been doing yeoman's work in helping to set up our draft coverage, so we're happy to have you on.
Glad to be here, guys. I work better when I'm panicking slightly anyway, so it works out.
We kind of, when we saw the Groom mock earlier today, I think John Manuel of Baseball America was the first to change his mock to have the Red Sox selecting Groom. And when we saw that, we started to freak out a little bit. And sure enough, other mocks started changing. And sure enough, Groom fell all the way to number 12. Let's talk a little bit about Groom, guys. I guess, Will, we'll start with you. What's the scuttlebutt? What's the basic rundown on why this guy was considered? I think it was, I've got it right here, that both Perfect Game and MLB.com had him ranked as the top talent in the draft. Baseball America had him at number 3. What made him the top talent as seen by a lot of people in this draft?
Yeah, he was one of the few players where there was definitely consensus about where he should be pegged. And on talent alone, he was, if not the best player in the draft, one of the top players in the draft. With a fastball that touches 97 and sits 91 to 93, everybody pretty much praised his curveball as one of the best, if not the best. Keith Law from ESPN called it a natural wonder, which is pretty high praise.
Okay.
He's pitched in a big program down at IMG in Florida on his junior year, came back to cold weather New Jersey for his senior year. So when you have that much talent and you're 6'6", and you know, around 200 or more pounds, you don't need to use a changeup a lot. So I guess he hasn't shown as much of that, except in the showcases a little bit. But that even has potential to be average or better. So, you know, when you have a guy with a pitcher's build, durability, repeats his mechanics pretty well, and has an easy delivery along with potentially 3 average or better pitches, that's how you get a high schooler ranked near the top of his class.
Yeah, so I should mention first off that we don't have firsthand scouting knowledge on either of these guys or of reporting. Everything we talk about it has been reported by either Baseball America, MLB.com, ESPN, my cat, apparently. I don't know if you guys could hear that. Or
we could.
Perfect Game. So, you know, we should make clear that all this comes from other sources. But we will be talking to people from those outlets in the coming weeks, as well as 2080 Baseball has some stuff on there too. But I guess part of the reason he fell, two things that were concerns. One is signability. Apparently he has floated a high bonus number. I think I saw 5 million somewhere. I'm forgetting where I'm seeing these things.
I saw 7 million in one article.
No, 7 is the Red Sox entire draft pool.
No, I know, but there's an article on the New York Post where they talk about that a high-level scout from a team picking in the top 10 said there are too many unknowns with Groom, and they were looking for top 3 pick money, which is close to 7 million.
Is that even true?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what it says.
Yeah.
No, it is. The 7 million is top 3 money.
I'll look that up. I think we can talk about what we were thinking. I mean, some of that, sometimes guys will float numbers to get to a pick they might want to get to. We have no idea how much he wants. Like I said, the number I saw was 5. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. So the number 3 overall pick is 6.5 this year.
So 7 million is right in line with it.
I mean, yeah, close to it.
And I think coming into the draft, rather, he had a reasonable expectation that in the top 3 is where he should expect to go.
Sure.
So wanting to get slot value for those picks makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to be one of the guys who a team was going to take early to sign for under slot and save up money to take an overslot guy later in the draft.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. We should mention, and we don't know anything firsthand about this, that the other thing that caused him to slide reportedly were makeup concerns. We don't know anything about what those are. The one thing we do know about that we should mention is that there was an issue where he went to Barnegat High School in New Jersey for his, I think, freshman and sophomore seasons. He transferred to IMG Academy for his junior season and transferred back to Barnegat for his senior year. And that violated a New Jersey Interscholastic Athletic Association, or State Interscholastic Athletic Association, rule that if you transfer without changing addresses, you have to sit for the first 30 days of the season or half of the team's games. So since his parents technically did not move, IMG Academy is in Florida, and it's obviously a boarding school, but his parents lived in the same place, so that technically was not moving. So that's why he was suspended after two games. I think it was 2 games into the season, so his stats for those 2 games were negated, including a 19 strikeout no-hitter on April 11th. And his team had to forfeit those 2 games that he played in. So but that's the one thing we do know about, but I don't think that's what people are referring to when they say makeup concerns. We don't know anything about that. We're not going to speculate. That aside, not knowing what the makeup concerns are, can this be called anything but a massive coup for the Red Sox guys? Ian?
Yeah, I mentioned it on Twitter that, a team like the Red Sox that expects to be competing every year isn't planning on picking in the top 15 or so of the draft very often. And so when you do and you have a chance to get a talent like Groom, it's you have to take it. And, they did that. You figure out the signability later. But I think it helps that he's a Red Sox fan. I think that's been widely reported. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, I don't know that you figure out the signability later. I think you need to have an idea.
No. You have. That's not what I meant. Okay. But what I meant is like that you take him and then you make the money work, basically. You can you after the fact, or not after the fact, but you adjust the rest of your draft dependent on it. You don't pass up a talent like this, especially when I was watching some video and the delivery looks good. It's clean, as Will kind of talked about the stuff. I like that he's only 17 years old. So he's on the young side for draftees, which I think there's been like analytics work that has shown that the young draftees are they're favored by scouts and front offices. So that's a good thing. He checks a lot of the boxes that you want with a pick this, and the upside is there. So it's I really like the pick, and as long as they sign him, it's hard not to say that it didn't hit a home run in terms of value. Obviously now it's up to them to sign him and then for the player to develop from here. But just strictly on getting, a guy who was the number 1 or 2 player on a lot of the draft site big boards with the 12th pick can't be described as anything but a coup.
Right. Will, I guess your kind of final thoughts on Groom?
Yeah, I mean, he's not just a little young for the class. He's basically a full year younger. He really should be a junior age-wise. And usually with these type of high schoolers, they have something that's not really working well. Their changeup is below average, or they don't have good command or control, or there's some sort of red flag that's something they really need to work on to develop properly. And Groom's one of the rare guys that has obviously elite upside, but he also has a reasonable floor for a high school player because he doesn't really have the one thing that's terrible right now. As I mentioned, the changeup he hasn't had to use a lot, but he does, you know, most of the scouts say are reporting that he has some sort of feel for it, so it's not really a huge red flag. So he has a decent floor and a high ceiling. Getting a guy like that at 12 is just not something that you usually are able to do. So I think the Red Sox are pretty happy with the guys they could get with their first overall pick in both of the last two drafts, really.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny you mentioned the changeup. I just realized the photo we have of him on his new player page is of him throwing a changeup. It's a pretty clear, it looks like a circle grip, but it's definitely
probably
not
the only time he threw it all year.
Well, it's in a perfect game showcase, so that would make a little more sense that he would throw. I mean, because the thing is, when you're playing in a cold weather state like New Jersey, throwing the changeup is helping the hitter. Frankly.
Yeah, well, especially when you throw in the low 90s like he does from the left side. Yeah, as you said, throwing a changeup is basically like throwing it at fastball speed that they're used to. So
right.
It's not really a great pitch for high school pitchers. I also found a senior season stats if you were interested in those.
Well, you can give me those later.
I thought the people would want to hear. This year, he was at, as you talked about, those two games were wiped, but he still struck out 90 guys in 39 and two-thirds innings and allowed only 15 hits. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty good.
That's not bad.
No.
It's pretty good. Cat agrees, apparently. All right, we should mention briefly the second round pick is shortstop CJ. For some reason, CJ Chatham isn't rolling off the tongue exactly. But CJ Chatham out of Florida Atlantic, who, as you caught in, went to Fort Lauderdale's American Heritage High, which is where Devin Marrero, as well as Eric Hosmer, went to school. Just kind of looking briefly, I've got Baseball America up right now, but it's an offensive profile, leveraging the swing, solid average power. Some question of whether or not he'll stick it short. He's 6'4", 185, according to BA. Will, you got anything on CJ Chatham?
I mean, that's a very big shortstop. Tulowitzki's probably the only current major leaguer who's quite that big. So it would be rare if he could stay at shortstop, but people seem to think that there's a possibility. And on the offensive side of the ball, he's more offense than defense, I suppose, but no standout tool. Everything's kind of fringe average. It's the kind of guy who I think the Red Sox are taking here who's definitely going to be signable with the idea that maybe they'll be able to get him for a bit under slot, use some of that state that savings to put towards Groom if they need to. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of a safe organizational guy who you know, with some upside on both sides of the ball potentially.
We should mention the slots, by the way, because we've been talking about figures. Slot for the first round pick was $3,192,800, and slot for the second pick at number 51 is $1,232,800. So if Groom wants $5 million, you basically have to pull $2 million out of the rest of your draft. Chatham, how much less than 1.232 do we think he signs for? I mean,
I said maybe 900K.
So 900 or a million, yeah.
Yeah, so you maybe get 250, 300,000.
Yep, and then I was thinking the number three pick at number 88 overall is 697,000, and then it starts going down pretty quickly from there. It's the fourth rounder is 501,000. So it's almost like you have to punt on your third rounder.
That's what I was about to say. I think we're going to see one of their first two picks tomorrow is going to be a senior. Yeah, is going to be like a college senior, probably a pitcher, I would guess, who will take, you know, maybe 100K, 150K, or hopefully, I mean, I think.
Or less.
Yeah, even, I mean, yeah, they need to move a lot of money around, and it's going to be difficult.
I mean, if you look at last year, I mean, the senior signs last year, Ben Taylor, the 7th rounder, and Mitchell Gonsolas, the 10th rounder, both got 10K, and Tucker Tubbs, the 9th rounder, got 5K.
They're going to need more than that this year, though. Yeah, they're going to. You were not going to see like a Logan Allen in the 8th round, I don't think, this year.
No, you can't.
So,
you can't.
Yeah.
You just spent the Logan Allen money on Groom.
We spent the Logan Allen money and more. Yeah, because last year they had 3.5, and Allen got 7.25, so you still need another 800K from somewhere. If it's five, I mean, we don't know what it is, so we're speculating here. But
true. I mean, maybe
it's going to be, I think we can safely say it's going to be overslot.
Yeah.
It's going to be well overslot.
Yeah.
And
I think
in order to make it happen, if Groom's ask is really at five or so, you're going to need to punt some of the earlier picks than you're used to. Usually, you know, you take the 3 and 4 and 5 guys as actual picks and then try to save the slot on the 5 through 10 guys. But I think you'll see the Red Sox pull the trigger on that early so they can get some of the senior signs who they value the highest, earliest, save the big money because those are the largest slots are going to be in the 3, 4, 5 rounds. And then from there, you see where you're at. And they may need to take senior signs for a good portion of these. And I think they'll take tonight to really figure out Groom's firm number so they can have an idea what they need to do going into day 2 and 3.
That's really kind of the advantage of having the first 2 rounds on one night and then getting rounds 3 to 10
my idea.
The next day. Sorry, yeah.
No, it's fine. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting.
You can bet they're going to be working the phones tonight trying to figure out, you know, who's willing to take, you know, 50K here, 10K there, 25K here, and then exactly how much is Groom's, what are we looking at realistically? Mm-hmm. And we should mention, too, that just because someone gets, you know, just because they take a senior sign and only give them 10K, 20K, doesn't mean they're not necessarily a prospect. Is, you know, guys like Kyle Martin's in AAA and is knocking on the big league door, and he got 10K. So,
you know, Ben Taylor's shoving.
Exactly. And I liked Ben Taylor when we saw him in Lowell last year. I wrote him up and he was up to 95, like, you can find guys for that little money. You know, that's why you have a scouting staff, you know, 15, 20 amateur scouts out there for 6, 7, 8 months of the year. They're out there all year, but, you know, in the lead up to the draft, just grinding for those last couple of months to find these guys. So we shouldn't be, you know, we're not saying they're going to get bad players necessarily. It's not going to look like what the drafts have looked like the last couple of years, I don't think.
Should mention, apparently, the Red Sox, Mike Rickard is having a conference call right now, and he said that they expect Chatham to stick it short, which, I mean, if you're taking him in the second round, I guess you're saying that you think he can stick it short, but has a good chance to hit with a little bit of pop, is the quote I'm reading from Alex Speer, but basically the entire Boston Red Sox beat is on the call right now, so everybody's tweeting things.
Well, it helps there's no game tonight, so.
Right. There's also a tweet that the Red Sox view Groom as a starter.
thank you.
I'm not going to say who tweeted that, but are you kidding me right now?
Oh, dear.
I would hope they wouldn't take a – well, that was the Zach Birdie.
Well, it's not – we don't need to talk about that.
We don't need to talk about that. Okay.
My takes are getting put away on that.
Yes.
No one's,
yes.
They're never going to hear the light of the day.
Yes. Is there anything else we need to talk about on this, guys? Because I know I've got to go pack for this – plane I'm getting at 8 tomorrow morning, so
nope.
Have we tapped it? All right. Well, I've got to go take out my profanity when I realized that I'd been speaking for about 20 seconds with the mute button on, and then I'll get this right online. Thank you, everybody, for downloading. We will have a more full review of the draft next week. We'll have at least one special guest. We've got some emails out. We've got one person definitely coming on at some point. And we're going to send out a couple more emails to people who we have seen Jason Groom in person because, like we've been saying, this might be the most exciting draft pick the Red Sox have had, certainly since the start of the website.
Well, it's different because, like, last year they were picking you at the top of the draft, but Ben Intendi was kind of – he's a college guy, you know. He wasn't, like, a sexy pick. He was seen as, you know, kind of a safe floor pick or a high floor pick. They haven't really taken a top five talent who fell, and I don't know. I'm looking back, and I can't find anyone who was had this much, you know, kind of clout coming out before the draft. So,
yeah,
it's exciting, and I look forward to hopefully getting to see him probably in Instructs. So, it could be a while because I would assume if he signs, he's not going to throw many innings in the GCL.
Will, any last words?
No, I'm just already so excited that I'm going to go start watching as much video as I can find of him. But yeah, upside like this at 12 doesn't happen. The Red Sox usually aren't picking higher than this. I know they've had a couple seventh overall picks, but I think, you know, this is more surprising and more of a more upside than either of their earlier picks in Trey Ball or Benintendi. At least that's what it appeared like at draft time.
At the time, sure.
The Red Sox have never gone out and got a guy who was generally regarded as a top three talent. Because usually if that guy's available to the Red Sox, it means there's some signability issue or some other red flag that drives them away. This clearly the Red Sox think that the upside far outweighs the risk in taking somebody who fell a little bit unexpectedly.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you, these guys, for going on. Thank you all for the download. We'll be back at you next week. We got to run. Thanks so much.